This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This is Turf Show Times, a podcast situation. Yeah, we got a little cracking of some cans out there. Amongst me on a Zoom here are three NFL, I would say, fans, I would say armchair general managers, all that stuff, but they're plugged in, you know, they really know what's going on. And we're just going to go around. We're going to do a first round mock draft. If you're listening to this, you probably like the LA Rams or perhaps the St. Louis Rams. And so the Rams don't have a first round pick. What are you going to do? But I'm sure as if you're an NFL fan, you may probably be a fan of the draft itself in the first round. We can start to talk about a little bit about what's going to happen perhaps on Thursday in the first round of the draft. And to do that, I've brought three of my friends here to go through, and we're going to do a mock first round of the NFL draft. None of these guys are Rams fans, but they do live in LA. So that counts for, yeah, right? But they all happen to be LA Chargers fans. no, those
we know that's not true.
Yeah, I don't think I could get a full Zoom.
We've scoured the city and have found Naya one.
Not yet for LA.
That all of us rooted for the Rams in the Super Bowl last year.
That's something.
That's true.
None of us are Patriots fans, I'm sure.
No.
They fucking let me down.
Now I can't mark it as clean, James. I can't mark the episode as clean.
Oh man, you should have said that shit in the beginning.
True, I fucked that up. So we're gonna go around. I'll just
lean into it.
Yeah, well, I think that's what, might as well at this point.
It's the dirtiest draft you ever heard.
mock draft, more like fuck draft.
Yeah, I was right there.
So let's go around the horn, so to speak. So pardon the interruption, as we ask these guys their names, their team affiliation. And, I'm going to say, who's your favorite Rams player of all time? Let's start with Ryan Meharry. Because as I look at the, board here, he's in the Greg Brady spot. So, going to go with Ryan Meharry. What's your name, Ryan Meharry? Who's your favorite team?
My name is Ryan Meharry. I am a lifelong fan of the world champion Kansas City Chiefs. And my favorite Rams player, I'll say this. Aaron Donald is fast on the rise. He is one of the most exciting defensive players I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I will say my favorite Rams player of all time is Marshall Faulk.
Good pick.
Good answer. Good answer.
I feel like, yeah, Marshall Faulk. Right when I was coming into my NFL brain, Marshall Faulk was the guy.
He's so fun to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's amazing.
Ryan, you ever want to compare Marshall Faulk to like Jamal Charles or something like that?
Like compare as like style of play?
They're like in the same little – are they in the same little circle, you know?
What do you mean? Like
Priest Holmes is like
I feel like Faulk. Priest Holmes and Marshall Faulk were a little more comparable in style.
Yeah.
Where they weren't necessarily like burners, like could necessarily score from any spot on the field, but they were like great receivers, like shifty in open space and all of that. Charles, to me, the greatest Chiefs running back of all time, was a home run threat anywhere on the field and a very underrated receiver. But I would say comparably Priest Holmes with Marshall Faulk.
Makes sense. Speaking of comparable to Marshall Faulk, let me go down to the left bottom where Greg Gallant is sitting in his home. Tell them your name and your favorite team and your favorite Rams player.
My name is Greg Gallant. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Woo! I also would have Faulk and Donald up there, but despite being an absolute Ohio State hater, I have to say Orlando Pace. Was it Pancake? Was it just Orlando Pancake Pace?
Yeah.
I think they first coined it around him, right?
Yeah, Pancake
Block. Think so.
Yeah.
Is there any other modern football player who has a stat named after them?
That's cool.
Besides Henry yards per attempt?
No, actually, there should be a wide receiver who should just go ahead and adopt the Yak nickname. Like, they should just go – it's a shitty nickname, but they should just jump on the grenade and be like, I'm going to go by Yak.
Yancey Thigpen was probably the closest who could do it, and he missed it, his windows closed.
Yeah.
I know you were saying they should change the term Yak and just call it, like, Steve Smith yards or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, somebody should come in.
The catch receiver, right? I mean, I assume Rice, just because he's the best at everything.
Yards after the catch? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I feel like it would be somebody like a Randy Moss or somebody. Jerry Rice.
T.O. was really great after the
catch. T.O., yeah.
I'm looking it up.
Sean Jackson.
Just this year was Christian McCaffrey.
See, because that means everything McCaffrey's catching is close. Yeah, only nowhere to go but forward, you know?
Yeah, amongst wide receivers.
Why can't I find this?
It's probably going to be a slot guy, you know, like DeAndre Hopkins maybe catching a lot of those shorties and making something out of it. That's my guess. Maybe not, because Hopkins doesn't have a huge total yards.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a Yak guy.
Yeah. Hopkins, are you a fucking Yak guy or what?
Are you a Yak guy? I don't think Hopkins is much of a Yak guy to me. He's more of a 50-50 ball guy.
Best Yak catches of all time. Welker.
Hey.
Edelman. Amendola.
Gronkowski.
Gronkowski.
Speaking of white guys, let me round this out with another one. He's below me in this Zoom that I'm looking at. And
okay. All right.
Technically speaking. James Mastriani. James Mastriani.
Yeah. I like to think of us as peers, not one being below the other.
Of course, of course. But as I peer at you, why don't you give me a peer review of your favorite team and your name, your favorite name, and your favorite Rams player.
All right. So I'm a diehard Steelers fan, just like Greg. I'm from Pittsburgh, and my favorite name for a girl probably be Angela. I like that name a lot. For a boy, if I were to have a son, I don't know, Vincent. Vincent's always nice. I like Italian names. And then my favorite Ram of all time, I'm not going to be a shithead, and I'm not going to say Jerome Bettis, because I could say Jerome Bettis, because Jerome Bettis is my favorite football player of all time as a Steelers fan. And, of course, he started his career as a Ram, and then they traded him. But I'm going to go with probably the most exciting and electrifying out of nowhere player I've ever seen. Mr. Kurt Warner is my favorite Ram of all time.
Wow. Good pick. Changed the game. You know,
Aaron Donald's teams. Right behind him, though. He's a University of Pitt guy. So you know, I've got extra love for him.
That's true. University of Pitt, indeed.
Yeah.
Pitt had some good players. They've had some really good players come out of there.
Man, it's crazy. If you go, any listeners here, go look up some of the greatest players that have come from the University of Pittsburgh, and you will discover how shocking it is that team has sucked for so long and has been able. What's that?
So you got Dan Marino, Aaron Donald, Larry Fitzgerald,
LeSean McCoy, Curtis Martin,
Tony Dorsett,
Darrell Revis, Ty Law.
It's just like none of these guys ever played together.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah. Ty Law went to so many.
Ty Law went to Michigan. We're just getting that in. We're just getting some word in here. Ty Law went to Michigan.
You know what? He's from Pittsburgh. My bad. He was born and raised there. That's my bad.
All right. That's where the law was invented. Yeah. So we're going to move forward. Speaking of colleges, we're going to go ahead and we're going to run this mock draft. We're just going to rotate.
Mock draft.
Well, yeah, and so do I. And we're going to be able to do one. We've done one recently. We've done a mock draft recently, and we each were assigned a team or certain teams, and we had the same number of picks. This time, it's just going to be very simple. We're going to go very fast. I'm going to have the first pick. Greg is going to have the second pick. James is going to have the third pick. Ryan is going to have the fourth pick. And then it's going to go back to me, and we're going to continue like that, each of us making 8 selections within this first round. And we're just going to see, you know, what happens. We're going to see what happens. Tomorrow on Monday, the NFL is running a mock draft as well. They're running a virtual mock draft to make sure that all the remote stuff will hopefully work as planned beginning on Thursday.
Just real quick, do we think that the draft on Thursday is going to be a mess?
Like, what a mess. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't.
I think they'll pare it down.
I think there'll be like one or two small little hiccups, and then the whole storyline afterwards will be like, wow, this worked really well.
Like, I could see maybe presentationally there might be some like issues, but overall, like, it's such a simple thing that's happening. Like, the draft is like, there's a lot of hoopla when we watch it, but overall, like, what it all entails is so simple.
Well, what if could we add in there, like, when we say mess, do you think that through the grapevine of like coaches having to interact with GMs or whatever, like as things are like trying to like get information across, you might just see like a player go in a very odd spot, or like several players go in very odd spots?
I think there was like a tweet somewhere that said that, that the mock drafts and all that stuff are way off compared to like what NFL people are saying, and that there are going to be guys that get picked way higher than all the mocks have and way lower.
That's what I've heard too. That's what I've also read. Yeah.
I feel like I hear that every year, but.
I read recently that there's a ton of people that think, and of course we'll get into it, but that CJ Henderson is almost a lock as a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think when I asked the question, what I meant was, do you think it's going to get hacked or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
No, I don't think it's going to get hacked.
That would be funny.
I mean,
if it got hacked, that would be, who would hack it though? And like, what would they probably just come on to what? Like,
fuck,
say NHL. Something stupid.
Yeah.
No.
Remember that guy who used to join like fantasy mock drafts every year and take like Tim Tebow first and then post the screenshots of everyone getting pissed off at him?
Yeah.
That guy has teamed up with Anonymous to troll the NFL draft.
There will definitely be people trying to hack the NFL.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, this whole
coronavirus
situation has been, if there's been sort of worldwide disasters that have led to this, I'm sure that the NFL could have some sort of mismanagement.
What would you guys do if I managed to make it so the Steelers get the first pick in the draft through some sort of hacking situation? And it was this big controversial, yeah.
And the NFL's powerless against it.
They can't do anything because I've locked them all up like digitally, like nobody can respond. So everybody just goes through, yeah.
You have to accept it.
So we're going to get this kicked off. We have a certain limited amount of time to even record this. So we need to, when we get started, I will say, like, if you think you know the pick right off the top of the draft, like, when it goes, like, let's just say it. Just say the pick. I'm going to have a limit at a minute, but if you can get the pick in 2 seconds, let's do that. I would rather talk about the picks as a whole in the first round, maybe perhaps then one by one. However, you know, we'll say something.
Cool.
Let's test your audience's patience. let's see what they're willing to put up with.
So great. So this is the beginning of the 2020 NFL mock draft. And with the first pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow, quarterback out of LSU. Everybody goes wild. And on the clock is Greg Makes with sense. Washington. Yeah, it does. It's a good pick.
I think it's too good to pass up. I know. I think, Kenny, you had told me that you thought Washington would probably go QB, or maybe you said that you think you would if you were them, but I got to take Chase Young second overall. He's too good to pass up.
I think Washington should trade down. I don't think they should take a quarterback. I think maybe there's definitely rumors. But Chase Young, great pick. I think everybody would agree with that and why it's so common.
Yeah. That defensive line would be nasty.
Well, that's all they've taken in the last 3 years is defensive line. So it better be, moving on.
Like this is Chase Young is to, Washington, what, Calvin Johnson was to the Lions, and finally getting that position area position right.
Yeah. That makes sense. Going to James with the third pick, the Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions are going to select linebacker Isaiah Simmons.
Ooh, slightly high. Go on.
I feel like, to me, I just don't see why they would. I know they just got rid of Darius Slade. I know that that's a hole, but also you have a player in Isaiah Simmons who just can come in and, like, kind of play a whole bunch of different positions. I just think that that's where the game is going. And I think if you can grab somebody with that skill set, why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. It's an exciting player to watch, I think, next year.
Yeah.
On the clock now, it's Ryan Meharry, number four, the New York Giants. And if you need some time at any point, anyone can just say, like, one moment. That's fine.
Sure. Thrown off a little bit, I'll say this, that the Giants were ready to pounce on Isaiah Simmons. But you know what? The Giants aren't the biggest fans of Nate Solder, and they love the potential of Mekhi Becton, so that's who they are taking with the fourth pick.
First pick of the tackle group, Mekhi Becton. It'd be interesting to see how those four tackles fall. But this seems like a good pick to me. I'll make my pick really quick here for the Miami Dolphins. I personally ran a mock draft just before we got started, went through it. I don't think people are going to like it, but I personally, for me, I think the Miami Dolphins, I'm going to say select Tristan Wirfs.
Wow. Really?
Not a quarterback. I think not a quarterback. Worst offensive line of football.
That's a good question real quick. So we're drafting based on what we think they should do and not what we think will happen. Is that the deal?
You can do whatever you want, I think. But but I don't mind saying that I could see the Dolphins doing this. I don't necessarily doing what I would do. I'm just saying with all this, you know, all the talk out, like there's an idea that the Dolphins couldn't not draft a quarterback. I don't buy into all the bullshit, like everything's everybody's saying out there. When we read a tweet like the drafts are going to be different than what people say, well, then I feel like people should feel free to make a pick in a way that they think might make sense.
Sure.
You know, because it does, if it makes sense for the Dolphins, then I think it's okay to say, like, oh, do it make sense?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting too is, like, I wonder if they would, like, try to draft, if they would go in this direction and try to draft Jalen Hurts or something maybe later.
Well, I think they have, yeah, exactly. They have two picks later on in the first round. They have picks in the second round. I think they could totally get, and I think Tua is going to go much later than people say.
Interesting.
I think that's when we ran our earlier mock drafts, I had the Dolphins and I wound up because I missed out on a couple of the top quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Down, caught a bunch of guys, and then whacked
Jalen. I think Tua still could go very high.
What?
For sure. Tua could go number two. I mean, I just – my feeling is low. So going to Greg Gallant at number six, the L.A. Chargers.
Well, man, I feel like the Chargers would be very happy to see only one quarterback off the board at this point. the only other thing I think they could possibly do here with the offensive tackle.
Absolutely.
But, man, I feel like maybe Herbert is the safer pick, but Tua has a higher ceiling. I guess I'm going Tua. I guess I can't pass that up.
Yeah. Tua's going to
Goes to the LA Chargers at number six. Let's address the quarterbacks after the next one goes off the board. Let's move on to James, number seven, the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, the Carolina Panthers are going to select. They have a pretty big hole here, so I think that this is going to be a good pick for them. They are going to select Derek Brown, interior defensive lineman.
Yes.
From Auburn. I was going back and forth with them because I know they also have a hole at cornerback, and I know C.J. Henderson is on the board.
Just Henderson.
Yeah, Okuda's still out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's right. Nobody's drafted Okuda.
Too late, though.
Yeah.
Is it too late, Commissioner? Did I lock it in?
You did lock it in.
I was still talking, though. I don't think I ever said in my sentence.
It's really gonna mess up.
I was gonna say, just kidding, and then I was gonna say, Jeff Okuda.
It's done.
We'll just say that doesn't matter.
Fine. You know what? Fine. Fuck it. Derek Brown. It is. Derek Brown's gonna be a great player for a long time.
I had Derek Brown to the Panthers in the mock draft that I made just before this. I think the Panthers select a lot of defensive tackles, and it does make sense to me. Jeffrey Okuda is officially the commissioner or the general manager of the Panthers would like to say officially they would have taken Jeffrey Okuda, but there was a technical malfunction with the virtual draft. They got hacked. They thought that Okuda was taken off the board by Russia.
Max Headroom.
Anonymous.
Max Headroom gave them Derek Brown.
It was Banksy. It was fucking Banksy. I know it.
Speaking of Banksy, let's go to the bank for the Arizona Cardinals at pick number eight with Ryan Meharry.
How annoying would I be if I was Justin Herbert? I mean, even with Patrick Peterson, Jeff Okuda is very tempting, but when you get the gift of DeAndre Hopkins for only a second-round pick, and then your next big hole really is offensive tackle, the Arizona Cardinals with the eighth pick in the NFL draft will select Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle from Alabama.
Boom. Good pick for the Cardinals. Obviously, yeah, huge could be a huge payoff for them. Moving on, the Jacksonville Jaguars are at pick nine. That's me. Given, of course – even though when we ran this draft, the first time I had them taking Justin Herbert, and he's still available here, of course, with Jeffrey Okuda falling here to number nine, there's no question the replacement for Jalen Ramsey. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Jeffrey Okuda at pick number nine.
And AJ Bouye.
Yeah, both. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, two starters gone. So makes a lot of sense for them. Moving on to pick number 10, Greg Gallant, Cleveland Browns.
So, help me out. The Giants took Becton. Who did the Dolphins take?
Tristan. Oh.
Tristan Wirfs.
And then who did the Cardinals take?
Jedrick Wills.
All right. So, then the Browns will take Andrew Thomas.
Browns take Andrew Thomas. Some people say we'll be the number one tackle off the board. It's a very who knows out of these four. Do you guys, now that all four are off the board, do any of you three guys want to chime in that you have a passionate feeling about any of these players one way or the other?
Yeah, I think Mekhi Becton is the next Willie Rofe. I think he's going to be a freaking monster. I love him.
I'm the most excited to watch him play for sure of all of them. A guy that big that moves that way.
I've watched some of his highlight stuff, and it's awesome. It's he's one of those rare offensive linemen. It's weirdly enough, your eye kind of gravitates to them just because they're so good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just got a notification that this will end in 10 minutes. So either we might have to start a new recording at that point, I think would be the only way to really get through this. So I won't stress it. We'll just pause this here at about 10 picks probably. Moving on to the New York Jets with James on the clock for the New York Jets.
And are there any of the tackles? Is Tristan Wirfs still available?
Nope.
No.
He just went to
UN5. Great. Then
all the tackles are gone.
All the top tier tackles are gone.
All the top tier tackles are gone. Great. Then the New York Jets are going to select, got to get a playmaker for Sam Darnold here. And so they're going to select the person I think is the best playmaker in at wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Alabama.
So, yeah, Jerry Jeudy off the board to the Jets. I'd say we have a few positions that are kind of grouped up that people debate the merits. The receiver position has those three players at the top. The tackles have four players at the top. There's two defensive tackles. There's one cornerback at the top and then a couple right after him. There's the three quarterbacks. So it's interesting to see how those things are falling off the board. Speaking of receiver, the Las Vegas Raiders are on the board with Ryan Meharry.
Oh, boy. As a Chiefs fan, I am a world-class Raider hater. I'm going to do a throwback. This feels like a this pick is done is going to be done by John Gruden to honor the late evil Al Davis. They're going to take Henry Ruggs III, the speedster.
Ooh. Yeah, Henry Ruggs III goes to the Raiders. Yeah, very fast. Do you guys like the fast guy, the fastest receiver in the draft? Do you get excited for that, or do you think it's overrated?
Overrated.
I think it's overrated.
They rarely turn out to be good.
Yeah. I mean, the early career of John Ross in Cincinnati is – he's, I feel like, the last guy like that I remember, you know?
John Ross, and then like even going back, Darius Hayward Bay, Tavon Austin, I think was kind of like that.
Yeah,
more just.
I think it's more about how they can control their speed, right? Like dudes that are able to slow down on a dime, or like, you know, Antonio Brown. I'm a big Steelers fan, so I watched him run routes for a long time. Like, he knew exactly when to go slow, when to go fast, when to like.
And having the strength to get off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that's true too.
Looking here, I'm on the board at pick 13 for the San Francisco 49ers. I think this is, you know, we aren't doing any trades in here. I think this, if the board was like this, it would be a fantastic opportunity for the 49ers to trade down because they don't have a second round pick.
I disagree. I think they would be, if the board fell this way for the 49ers, I think they would be.
They do backflips.
Backflips. They have two choices that they would be so happy about. They would have to take.
Yeah.
Well, out of those two choices, I think the 49ers have to jump on the opportunity to draft CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver out of Oklahoma, to get him 100%. At pick 13, add him with Deebo Samuel. It certainly improves that
quite
a bit if he turns out to be good.
If CeeDee Lamb falls to them and they get him and George Kittle and fucking
Deebo Samuel Deebo. And their running game.
Unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, look, could have been a good trade offer. I don't know. moving on to pick 14, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg. I'm pretty sure that Greg is frozen, which looked very I'm not making out what you said, Greg.
I think that the Bucks would be you can't hear me?
I can only hear you sometimes.
Yeah, you're coming in a little bit.
Breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, maybe just shout that pick.
Now, is that
no. What's the box and then we'll fix it.
This is a preview for Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that pick in there. Greg.
I think Javon Kinlaw.
Javon Kinlaw goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good pick for them. They just took Vita Vea not too long ago. So really big interior. They re-signed Sue. So interesting interior for them if that happens. Let's.
Now, this would be a pick that would want to. Now the Broncos would want to trade down for sure.
Yeah, for
the,
sure.
The Broncos. Denver Broncos pick 15. That's you, James. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think that the Broncos here should draft cornerback CJ Henderson.
Best available. You got to do it.
Yeah, I think that that's a good call for them. I mean, I know that, like, they really probably want a wide receiver there, but I don't know that there's another one. I think the value is too high.
Mm. Yeah, it's been another interesting unit is the cornerbacks because Afri Okuda, you know, a lot of people do talk about CJ Henderson the most as that number two guy, though I did watch a little mock draft today with Daniel Jeremiah, and he had AJ Terrell going over CJ Henderson. He did say that he had Henderson ranked above Terrell, but that Terrell was more of a guy for the GM that he was picking for, and I kind of think that's interesting because other places, AJ Terrell is not even in the top three or four cornerbacks. So
yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Who knows? Going on to pick 16, the halfway point here almost for the first round, the Atlanta Falcons, Ryan Meharry, what do you think?
This is a guy I watched all like a bunch of highlights from all the pass rushers lately. And honestly, the guy that stood out to me the most, who I think looks like he could be really awesome, is AJ Epinesa, the pass rusher from Iowa.
AJ Epinesa goes to the Atlanta Falcons. And yeah, another interesting one because, yeah, some people don't have him in the first round. Other people would have him this high. It's really all over the board.
Yeah.
I think he's dope. I think he's going to be good.
So let me pause this here. We're going to end this here since we're in the halfway point of the first round and we're about to run out of here and get kicked out of Zoom. We will start this up here again and be right back. I wonder how many people, now that you're like, everyone's doing it at home, do you think there will be any coaches and players that are just like high the whole time?
Absolutely. I mean, they're not gonna kick anybody out for it anymore.
Right.
If you could, what NFL head coach do you think is the most likely to be a habitual marijuana user?
Pete Carroll?
That's kind of who I thought too.
I'll give you another maybe surprising one, because I know he's a huge party animal, is Bruce Arians.
Hmm. Oh yeah. I could see that.
Apparently yeah. he's like the consensus, like in the NFL, everybody's favorite person to party with.
That's interesting.
Yeah. He's the guy everybody wants at their parties. Yeah.
What's he doing?
I mean, it's the NFL, so I'm sure nothing he's probably just gregarious, you know.
Yeah.
So we're back with the second half of the first round. 16 picks have gone off the board. The most recently, AJ Epinesa to the Atlanta Falcons, edge out of Iowa. Quickly before we start the second half of the first round, let me just quickly go around and see if you guys have any thoughts on what we've seen transpire so far. It really seems like, you know, the first small surprise was Isaiah Simmons going third, which, you know, nobody would – I don't think anybody would disagree that he's talented enough to go there or that the Lions would take him. But that kind of throws off the board a little bit from where a lot of the mocks are. But then the real big change here is obviously Tristan Wirfs going to the Miami Dolphins, I think, and the fact that a quarterback doesn't go there. That alone, I think, can create a domino effect. And then obviously just a small one, I think, is that if James had picked Jeffrey Okuda at 7 with the Carolina Panthers – I would have selected Derek Brown, number 9, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that that's just maybe a swap, you know.
There's a good chance.
I was hacked.
There's a good chance the Arizona Cardinals might have taken Derek Brown.
They could have, for sure. They could have.
Honestly, I do think he's going to be as good of a defensive tackle as Jeff Okuda is going to be a cornerback. I think he's a really, really great defensive tackle prospect.
Any concerns with what people say about Derek Brown, which is that he is just really an elite run stuffer and not so much of a pass rusher?
James.
No, not really, because I think that, like, that part of the game still exists today. I mean, he may not have the same type of pass rushing moves as, like, Aaron Donald, but if he was if he could get you 5 or 6 sacks and, like, you know, a good amount of tackle for losses and pressures and stuff, that's still, like, pretty dominant. Yeah, but I think he's going to be better than, like, Jaron Reed.
Well, this is like, that's the thing though. Jaron Reed's probably a good comp for Derrick Brown in the sense that Jaron Reed, you know, was an elite run stuffer without a whole lot of pass rushing prowess. And that we've seen that the value on Reed is mid second round pick. And you know, he wasn't a big free agent this year. 2 years, $23 million to go back to the Seahawks. And so you would think that maybe that's why they think Derrick Brown is more of a top 20 guy, or, you know, but it's interesting because I wrote an article because Derrick Brown he goes out on Twitter and he likes a bunch of tweets that say, like, Derrick Brown is overrated and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
I do too.
I thought you're going to be all
that motivation.
I thought you're going to be like, oh, he goes on Twitter and he likes a lot of porn stars tweets.
You know, yeah. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. I was going to say Mitch Trubisky's all-time great tweet of, I love sucking titties, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Any other thoughts quickly on the first round, Ryan?
I was just – oh, sorry, Ryan.
No, no, you can say James.
I don't remember your name changing to Ryan. But
there's a time lapse here, man. All right?
That's fair.
Just like the draft.
What were you gonna say? What were you gonna say, James?
I was just gonna say, I think, like, if this fell this way for the Dolphins, man, could you imagine? Like, they right now they're still in a position to draft Justin Herbert, who they liked. They also were able to get, you know, one of the top 4 tackle prospects with that first pick.
Arguably, I mean, like, their biggest need, yeah.
Like, this could be, if it fell like this, the Dolphins would look like fucking geniuses, and they still have another first round pick.
Yeah. They have 2 more first round picks.
Assuming going, 2 more the next one.
Ryan, what were you going to say?
For as far as what I'm expecting to actually happen on Thursday, I was wondering if teams were going to play their cards closer to the vest. Is it vest or chest?
Vest.
And play their cards closer to their vet.
It's on the chest, you know. It's the same thing, probably.
Yeah. And that maybe we wouldn't quite see as many trades as maybe in years past. Now I'm starting to maybe think the opposite. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a few trades, teams trying to get into the top 10.
Interesting. Yeah.
It is interesting. I think there's going to be teams also that see this draft as an opportunity to get out of, you know, to move down, to get picks next year, and to sort of avoid all of the what's transpired with not getting all the physicals and not getting all the meetings and the pro days and all this kind of stuff, and not knowing when the season's going to start or when you're going to be able to actually work in practices with your rookies, that I don't know how many teams might be like, well, I don't want to. I would rather have value next year than this, and that could maybe, and then other teams might be like, well, let's take advantage of that and move up. Maybe trades will look a little bit surprising this year just in terms of compensation. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there will be as many teams that have the opposite philosophy, especially if the draft fell like this. Like, if Herbert started to fall, there'd be a lot of teams trading up into the early teens, I think, to try and get him, you know.
Well, which team, Greg, do you think is in the back half of the first round that you believe would trade up for Herbert in the early teens? Like, we haven't done any trades here, but do you see a team here that you think – I think that this team would have traded up?
I mean, I think maybe just scanning through, I could see the Jags trying to come up from 20. It's definitely out of character for the Patriots to trade up, but they,
yeah.
QB,
I've heard the rumor. There's been rumors about New Orleans trying to trade up a bunch to get one of the, if one of the quarterbacks fall.
I could see that.
Perchance. Great. Well,
pretty aggressive, you know, like Davenport and all that.
Definitely.
Maybe. Yeah.
Indy from 34 would be the other one, I think.
Yeah.
But the Saints don't have a second round pick, so that's one thing that's going to pull them back a little bit.
Ultimately going to fuck them.
So let's fire through the second half of this first round. I'm on the board here for the Dallas Cowboys. Several needs. I don't know exactly, you know, which one stands out for them as related to the board here. I think there's a lot of different players here I'm looking at. I'll just make a very, I think, basic pick and go with Ke'Lavon Chaisson, giving them another edge rusher. It's not maybe I don't know if it's necessarily the most exciting pick, but I'm just going to do it. So,
be interesting. Pair him up with DeMarcus Lawrence. I like
yeah.
it.
You can always get a pass rusher. You can always justify that. Greg, you're on the board.
Justin Herbert.
And there the Miami Dolphins do get Justin Herbert. Some said they could have drafted him at 5, but look, smart. Draft Tristan Wirfs.
Got him right here, yeah.
They got him at 18. This would have been considered huge for Miami.
Huge coup.
Huge. Pick 19, James, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, the Las Vegas Raiders would like to select Xavier McKinney, safety from Alabama.
They took Jonathan Abram last year.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so and I think their other safety hasn't really worked out because they've drafted a couple. They had they've got what's his name, Carl.
Carl Joseph is gone now.
Where's he?
He was a free agent, so I forget where he signed, but he's gone.
Oh, okay.
So their other cornerbacks, they signed Demarius Randall, and then they signed LaMarcus Joyner a year ago, though Joyner could be playing in the slot.
Carl Joseph signed with the Cleveland Browns for 1 year, $2.5 million.
Interesting.
Speaking of the Cleveland Browns, the Jacksonville Jaguars are also a bad team. And they're picking
and franchise.
And franchise picking 20th, and that's Ryan Meharry. What do you think for their second pick?
Good question. If this is how things fell for Jacksonville right now, I think they would try to trade down. But since we cannot do that, I'm going to say that the Jacksonville Jaguars will select Grant Delpit, safety from LSU.
Ooh.
A lot of LSU defensive players in this draft, I'm noticing, for the first time. But, yeah, good defense there at LSU, the national champions. 21, the Philadelphia Eagles. That's me on the board. I think, you know, just very obvious that everybody expects a wide receiver for the Eagles to do that. I don't know if necessarily it's that straightforward. I think that this is the type of draft where in the second round or something you could talk about it. But I'm not going to mess around. Justin Jefferson, LSU. I'm just going to put him to the Eagles so I won't draw any ire for doing something besides that. So, yeah.
He's so good, man. I secretly wish that the Steelers could somehow get him because he looks like the best slot receiver in the draft for sure.
Yeah, James, you watched a bunch of tape and highlights of the receivers past just the top three recently. Who is your favorite? Who is your favorite receiver of all those guys in those videos that you watched besides those top three?
I really liked the tape and film of Brandon Ayuk was one of my favorites. Yeah. I also really liked Jesus Christ, who were we just talking about? Oh, Justin Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
I like T. Higgins' tape as well. It's really fun to watch. He looks like a I don't know. He kind of looks a little bit Plexico Burris-y to me. I don't know. I don't think he's that long though, but Yeah,
has he shot himself
really
in the leg?
Well, not yet. He still has some time, though.
Potential.
What happened to everybody's love for Laviska Shenault?
Injuries and not being able to check his injuries, I think, is what I've heard.
I think he's the next version of Cordarrelle Patterson, man. I think he's just going to be like a really, really freakish, large, fast guy who can't really run great routes, doesn't have great hands and such.
Speaking of Cordarrelle Patterson, Minnesota Vikings on the clock, number 22. That's you, Greg. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think they have two picks coming up right here. There's a few corners and a few wideouts in the mix. I could see another LSU guy, Christian Fulton, but I'm going to take someone that I took in our other draft that I'm pretty high on, which is corner Jeff Gladney from TCU.
Jeff Gladney, TCU. He's going to the Minnesota Vikings. And now the pick that a lot of people are curious about, New England Patriots. That's you, James. Big choice here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the choice here is I think they have to do something about their old front seven on the defense. So I am going to give them somebody who is very, very athletic, very dynamic player. And, you know, I think is going to be really good. Reminds me a little bit of Ryan Shazier, Patrick Queen, inside linebacker.
LSU. LSU has been four of the last seven picks.
Yeah.
Lots of good team there.
I hate this world. If the Patriots get Patrick Queen, that's such a bummer.
I know. Because he looks really, really good.
But also, the Patriots are going to be probably bad, probably pretty bad.
Ryan is talking, and speaking of Ryan, you're on the clock. the Saints, we were talking about them just a second ago.
Are they going to roll out Brian Hoyer? I mean, what are you going to? The New Orleans Saints are they're thinking about the future. I think this is a guy maybe they would have considered trading up for earlier, but they're stoked that he is right here at 24. Sean Payton thinks he can develop any type of quarterback talent. He's got somebody who has a lot of tools and maybe could be somebody he could really tinker with. He's taking Jordan Love, quarterback from Utah State.
Wow. Interesting.
Jordan Love developing behind Drew Brees. I think it's very sensible. The Minnesota Vikings, 25, just took a cornerback at 22. Looking at the whole board of that situation, you know, I just think that for me, even it's not going to be like the biggest need for the Minnesota Vikings, but I think it's just going to make their defense all that much better. Have one of the best guys in the locker room that they could possibly have. I just want to do it for them. So the Minnesota Vikings select Kenneth Murray, linebacker out of Oklahoma.
Ah, okay, interesting.
Just a great player and a great teammate, and I think would be a great Viking to improve.
That's
their
what
team.
I want to
get. I think he's going to be
this imaginary thing.
26, Miami Dolphins. That's you, Greg.
Yeah, so we've got a tackle. We've got Herbert. I think, let's see. We would have probably liked to get a safety if McKinney and Delpit weren't both off the board here. So I'm going to say I'd probably prioritize getting a weapon for Mr. Herbert and give him a couple tough calls here. I'm going to say T. Higgins from Clemson.
Ooh, okay.
Making our mark about who we think the next best receiver here is. And this is a huge chunk of players in that second tier of receivers as far as what I've seen.
Yeah, Rieger, Mims, Ayuk, Chenault.
Absolutely. Michael Pittman.
Hamler.
James.
And I'm between two different picks here for the Seahawks because I know they need edge help. And I also know that they need offensive line help, right? So I've been going back and forth between these two players, these two positions. But I'm instead of the steady Eddie, I'm going to give you guys somebody who I think maybe has a little bit more of an opportunity to be have a higher ceiling. So I'm going to give you guys – I'm going to try to pronounce his name. Edge rusher Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State.
Mm.
Yeah, the Vikings were thinking about him.
Yetur Gross-Matos goes to the Seattle Seahawks for them to try and, you know, do.
How do you feel about that, Ken?
I don't feel any way about. I just don't really know anything about any of these edge rushers that well. So
yeah,
outside of the very obvious one, who is your guys? I know that you know we've talked about AJ Epenesa, Yetur Gross-Matos. Do you guys have any favorites of those edge players outside of Chase Young?
I like Zach Bond as well.
Yeah, I like I said, I like Epenesa the best. My second best is then Gross-Matos, then Chase On, and then Curtis Weaver.
Mm.
Yeah, I really like Yetur Gross and Matos, and I also like Zach Braun. I like Josh Uche a little bit later, too.
Yeah, I like him as well. I was about to say him.
Well, I mean, yeah, and we don't do trades here, but you know, the Seahawks will probably trade down, and we'll see what they do at that point. Ryan, 28, Baltimore Ravens. They always draft well, it seems like. What would you like to do here?
This might be an area where they would not be mad about trading down, but I think.
Call this dead air.
Yes, of course. Sorry. Okay. The Baltimore Ravens, they want to give Lamar Jackson another weapon. They wouldn't mind adding maybe a little more speed on offense. They're going to select Jalen Rieger, wide receiver from TCU.
Bam.
Interesting. Okay.
Back-to-back first round receivers for Baltimore. Pair him with Hollywood.
He looks like Steve Smith a little bit. If you watch him play, like he looks like he plays like he's huge, but he's not.
Jalen Rieger. Moving on to the Tennessee Titans, pick 29. I will give them another offensive lineman to build next to Taylor Lewan since they've lost Jack Conklin. I think that, you know, this seems to be a pretty good class of second tier offensive linemen. So I'm going to have them pick Josh Jones out of Houston to develop as a right tackle of the future of right now, actually. Because they're going to miss Jack Conklin and they've still got to protect Ryan Tannehill and do stuff for Derrick Henry if they're going to pay those guys. So Josh Jones. Moving on to Greg and Green Bay at pick 30.
It's interesting. I feel like a couple of the wideouts they probably would have loved to take are off the board. Is Zach Bond still on the board?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll take him. I think they'd probably rather have like a pure off-ball linebacker, but he's a guy who can rush the passer and drop into coverage. I think that's a good guy to have around on that defense.
Yeah, Zach Bond, I see moving up a little bit every day, getting more of that hype. So good pick there. 31, San Francisco 49ers. James, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, you know, I am going to, I know like they got a wide receiver earlier and who they get, CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I am going to go to the defensive side and I am going to have them draft cornerback Trayvon Diggs from Alabama.
Trayvon Diggs.
I feel like I feel like you want to maybe try to replace DeForest Buckner, but also that line is already so good. Might as well like help some other areas.
Yeah, Trayvon Diggs. The name also just kind of sounds like a 49ers cornerback for some reason. Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
Ryan, what a dream scenario for you.
I love here. It. So happy.
Pick 32, making a pick for your favorite love team, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Love picking at 32.
Picking the last one because they won the Super Bowl. Wow. First of all, say how you like it if this was the board for the Chiefs, and then what is your pick?
The Chiefs. First off, I will say that this has been one of those little moments, you know, where it like sinks in a little more that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. And this is very nice. If the Chiefs, I think if the board fell this way, the Chiefs would definitely want to trade back. But we're not angry right now with how things have turned out here. We're trying to decide really between our two biggest positions of need, which there's some good talent here, both at cornerback and interior offensive line. The Chiefs are going to go with Cesar Ruiz, center from his school.
What is the current situation at center for the Chiefs? Yeah, did you feel like this was a lot of people are split on if there is like a lot of good interior linemen here?
I think the Chiefs don't just have a need at center. They have left guard could use some improvement also. And so I think Ruiz's versatility would probably maybe catapult him over Fulton. The Chiefs drafted a cornerback in the sixth round last year who got on the field a bit, Rashad Fenton, that I think they like a lot. So I could see them maybe giving him a chance. They brought back Bashad Breeland. Charvarius Ward is a maybe most underrated cornerback in football. I think the Chiefs might like are pretty okay with their secondary. So I think interior offensive line is maybe the biggest position of need, and Cesar Ruiz is the best in the draft.
So I'm going to quickly recount the first round here for everybody listening and for our three guests here, and we can just give our thoughts. Starting with number one, the Bengals select Joe Burrow. Number two, Washington selects Chase Young. Number three, the Lions select Isaiah Simmons. Number four, the Giants select Mekhi Becton. Number five, the Dolphins select Tristan Wirfs. Number six, the Chargers select Tua Tagovailoa. Number seven, the Carolina Panthers select Derek Brown. Number eight, the Cardinals select Jedrick Wills. Number nine, the Jaguars select Jeffrey Okuda. Number 10, the Browns select Andrew Thomas. Number 11, the Jets select Jerry Jeudy. Number 12, the Raiders select Henry Ruggs. Number 13, the Niners select CeeDee Lamb. Number 14, the Bucks select Javon Kinlaw. Number 15, the Broncos select C.J. Henderson. Number 16, the Falcons select A.J. Epenesa. Number 17, Dallas Cowboys select Kalavon Chaisson. Number 18, the Dolphins get Justin Herbert. 19, Raiders Xavier McKinney. 20, Jaguars Grant Delpit. 21, Eagles Justin Jefferson. 22, Vikings Jeff Gladney. 23, Patriots Patrick Queen. 24, Saints Jordan Love. 25, Vikings Kenneth Murray. 26, Dolphins T. Higgins. 27, Seahawks Yetur Gross-Matos. 28, Ravens Jalen Reagor. 29, Titans, Josh Jones. 30, Packers, Zach Bond. 31, Niners, Trayvon Diggs. And 32, Chiefs, Cesar Ruiz. I'm going to quickly go around, and I just want to ask you guys, what was your favorite pick that you made where you're like, oh, I feel really good about this. I made such a good pick for this team. It's a good looking pick. And what was maybe your favorite pick that somebody else made, starting with you, James?
I think my favorite pick that I made is probably Isaiah Simmons to the Lions. I think it's a surprising pick that takes the team forward into the future, gives that defense versatility. And I think my favorite pick that somebody else made is the Dolphins getting Justin Herbert at 18, probably. I mean, I don't know if that's – I guess that's not really fair.
Why would you say it's not fair?
It's fair.
Because that's kind of like how it fell. Yeah, I mean, it fell that way, so.
I mean, I don't know that it would personally find it – I would not personally find it surprising to see Justin Herbert at 18 just because – we often see, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Brady Quinn or whatever. Like, it just happens. And Justin Herbert doesn't feel like he doesn't feel like he's talked about as a lock to me for the top five or the top 10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Yeah, I think so. I think somebody will trade up for him, but.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't have trades.
Yeah.
Ryan, your favorite pick that you made and your favorite pick that somebody else made?
I think my favorite pick that I made and my favorite pick that somebody else made are the back-to-back picks. Jedrick Wills at 8 for the Cardinals just seems like a solid slam dunk. That's going to work out. And then I liked getting Jeffrey Okuda at 9.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, again, it worked out luckily for the Jaguars on that one. And again, like, yeah, I think – those players, all three of those players, but it's Brown and Okuda went lower than I think most people are saying that they will. But I think also it wouldn't be surprising for those shifts to happen, those small shifts. Greg, your favorite pick that you made and your favorite pick that somebody else made?
I mean, I think obviously Herbert for the Dolphins is a huge coup. Yeah, I think it was a great draft for the Florida teams here because my favorite pick someone else made is probably Okuda to the Jags. But also I think Jerry Jeudy to the Jets is big. That was who they got, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's the real fucking deal.
That was my pick, baby.
yeah, and I would say that my favorite pick that I made would be Tristan Wirfs to the Dolphins just because they did wind up with Justin Herbert. And there's no way – the only way that the Dolphins can wind up with one of these top tackles is by trading up from 18 or doing it at 5. So I think they can do it at 5 and not – but they've got 14 picks in the draft this year. So they've got to be looking into trade up. Because so many teams are also looking for second-round picks and third-round picks right now. The Dolphins have those, too. So I could see the Dolphins probably even trading up from 5 or trading up from 18. But I think they should really try and come away with a tackle. And my favorite pick that somebody else made would probably be, Justin Herbert, you know, for the Greg to solidify that that second pick there and getting the quarterback. But I also really liked Patrick Queen to the Patriots.
Ugh, yeah.
You know, really worked out
there. Fuck that shit.
all right, final thoughts on this first round and anything else that you're thinking about going into Thursday's draft, Ryan?
I thought everything good, reasonable draft, like good smart decision making. Like, yeah, I thought we did a good job. So kudos. I'll say this: I'm so excited for the draft on Thursday.
What are you most looking forward to seeing, given the circumstances this year? Are you most looking forward to seeing a huge fuck up? Are you most looking forward to see like people at home, you know, like players' homes and coaches' homes? Like, what exactly are you most looking forward to?
Personally, just like an event, like something that just feels like an event that is like got some drama to it, that's sort of like not having any sort of real stakes in it, just something that just, it feels like a good distraction. Yeah. So that's what I'm most excited for. Second, I don't want it to be a screw up. I want it to be great and fun and entertaining. And I think watching like the kids get it at home, like receiving the good news will be fun. Also the surrealness of getting to see Roger Goodell's basement. Great. Like Roger Goodell speaking in his basement. I imagine it's at a podium. Uh-huh. Like, so him speaking at a podium with no one to no one would be really great. And I hope he's good somehow.
I've got a less than 5 minute countdown right now for this. So quickly, Greg, your thoughts on this draft and the upcoming real draft?
I mean, I think obviously in this draft, having the limitations of no trading made it probably fairly different, but it seems like a lot of teams had some great stuff fall into their lap. The Patriots, the Jags, the Dolphins. I even think I'd be happy as the Browns, even though it was the fourth of the tackles taken to get any of those guys. So I think Thomas is going to be big for them. I think it just like every year, where these quarterbacks fall and how high people are on quarterbacks is going to determine a domino effect that, you know, ripples through the whole draft. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And James, same question to you.
So my take on this draft is how I think after this draft, the AFC East, I'll exclude the Patriots. I feel like the AFC East got much better in this draft because you've got, you know, the Bills got Diggs, then you've got the Jets getting Judy, and then you've also got the Dolphins just suddenly adding all of these weapons. Like the AFC East, suddenly the future of it could very much be anti-Patriots would make me very happy. And then the other thing that I would say about the draft coming up, you know, it's the first draft since 1969 that the Steelers don't have a first round pick. So it's going to be a little bit weird, but I'm kind of happy to not be tethered to any team in the first round. So I'm going to be enjoying I don't have to think about my team at all. So.
Well, that's one thing that the Rams fans can relate to this year and every other year. So, the Rams, Sean McVay won't maybe have his first round pick with the Rams until 2023, which maybe 2022.
That's crazy.
Maybe 2022 because it's just the next one. But that's the first 6 years of his career where he won't have a first round pick.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But that's it for this mock draft. I want to quickly go around also, and if you guys have anything you want to plug, if you're still doing a podcast, James, I know you got I'm Too Effing High. Are you still doing that show? Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, just check us out. I'mTooEffingHigh.com. We do a live stream every single Tuesday and Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific. We get comedians high on cannabis and have them do comedic challenges. So check it out.
Absolutely. And that's I'm Too Effin, EFFIN. Hi. Ryan, anything you'd like to plug?
I do a YouTube live show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with my good friend Dave Tooney. We do something different every time. It's a lot of fun. You don't know what to expect. On Monday, James will be on. We'll be doing a marijuana themed thing for 420. So tune in. It's called My Own Private Kokomo.
Oh, that's right. It is James's holiday tomorrow.
420.
And Greg, same to you. Any plugs?
Yeah, I co-host a podcast called First Hand with Devin Field that is a bunch of improvisers and comedians sort of making up fake history. And it's season two is going to be coming out shortly, but you can catch up on season one wherever you find podcasts. And if you're bored over the quarantine and you're looking for shows to binge, find Perfect Harmony on Hulu. Check that out.
Perfect Harmony and First Hand, the podcast. That's it for this Turf Show podcast, first round mock draft. Thanks for listening and perhaps another podcast will be coming at some point. Who knows?